How's that going? Going good? I have a different approach. I decided that I was going to eat more junk food. Because it's biblical. The Bible says, eat, drink, and be merry. Junk food makes me happy. I'm just following the Bible. What about exercise? How many of you are exercising more? Walking more? Yeah? Yeah? I, again, have a different approach. I decided to quit exercising. Obviously, the NFL doesn't want me. I'm never going to qualify for the Olympics. I need to embrace reality. What about spending less time at work and more time with your family? Is that a good one? See, I have a different approach. My approach is to spend more time at work. Why annoy the ones I love? That's what I'm thinking about. And of course, some people evolve them over time. You ever track yours? I came across somebody's. They said in 2019, they wanted to spend 30 minutes on the treadmill. In 2020, they said spend 15 minutes on the treadmill. This year, they're saying sell the treadmill. 2019, read the Bible. 2020, read the New Testament. 2021, open the Bible. You can see they're making adjustments. 2019, stop my road rage. 2020, stop my road rage at least once a day. 2021, remove any and all decals, stickers, crosses, etc. from my car that identify me as a Christian. I'm talking about resolutions because there are promises that we intend to keep, and there are the ways that we actually act out. And this past Wednesday, we saw an acting out. This past Wednesday, January 6th, was Epiphany, a word that means manifestation. And in the life of the church, Epiphany is both a day and a season. But what we witnessed this past Wednesday was a leader and his followers who removed any and all semblances of anything that identified them as Christian. And instead of manifesting God or faith, manifested selfishness and fear. And I was reminded of another Wednesday. Not this past Wednesday, but another Wednesday in which there was an epiphany, even though it didn't happen on Epiphany. A manifestation that inspired people to rise up and act out in ways that have continued to bring about the vision of God. On that Wednesday, at the Lincoln Memorial, Martin Luther King Jr. gave a speech at the March on Washington on August 28, 1963. More than 200,000, some people say a quarter of a million people, were in attendance. Thousands more heard it on the radio and TV. Did you ever hear it? The speech he gave, "I Have a Dream"? Did it inspire you? Did it awaken you? Did it encourage you? Did it empower you? Do you know how many people were arrested at that march? Four. I'm going to go geeky on you. One was a member of the American Nazi Party who was trying to do a counter demonstration and didn't have a permit. One was throwing rocks at the marchers in their buses. One had a loaded shotgun. And one tore up a protester's sign. It was an iconic moment in history about nonviolence and civil rights. I'm going to turn off the one mic because we're getting a huge echo. Let's see if this helps. Does that help? Okay. When you heard the I Have a Dream speech, did it call on you to rise up in an insurrection and go to the Capitol and smash windows and break down doors and defile the institutions of our government? If a foreign power had done what those people did this past Wednesday, we would have declared it an act of war and held them and the leader responsible. Does anybody think that if what happened this past Wednesday had been a part of the Black Lives Matter movement, that if a speaker had incited a crowd to an insurrection, that it would have been handled the same way? No. If a speaker had said what Trump said, they would be in jail, not roaming the halls of the White House. If the crowd had acted out the way those domestic terroristic thugs had acted, there would have been many more protesters killed and arrested. Can you imagine how the public and politicians would have reacted? And yet, within hours, there were politicians who voted to overturn Biden's win, tried to disallow the duly, rightfully results of a fair election. They say, well, there were 70 million people who voted for Trump. Well, guess what? There were over 80 million people who voted for Biden. Now, I'm not a mathematical genius, but the last time I checked, 80 million outcounts 70 million. You don't get to overturn an election just because you don't like the way it turned out. If I could overturn every result I didn't like, the Dolphins would still be undefeated. The truth of the matter is Trump is a crybaby tyrant who is so afraid that people don't love him that he can't accept that he lost an election. And there are a number of politicians who are so afraid of him or his base that they will not stand up for God, for truth, or for justice. The people who rioted and follow him are so afraid that they forget who they are, who God called and created them to be. They were not acting out as baptized believers. There was nothing Christian about their words or behavior. They are frightened. They think they can only find their identity if they are on top, looking down on others. They can only be strong if they put others down, hold them down, keep them down, keep them in their place, keep others weak and intimidated. And we have to help them reclaim their identity. They have forgotten who they are, who God called them to be. Baptism is not a ceremony. It's a commissioning. It's living out our confession of faith. It's about honoring our commitment to follow Jesus Christ, not someone or something else. It's about acting out what we believe. Ridiculous, reckless, dangerous rhetoric leads to reckless and dangerous behavior. Words have power, and we've seen the negative consequences of that this past week. But the fact that words have power also means that our witness, our words, our actions have power and can bring about positive changes that are needed in people's lives and in our country. We need to help bring alive a vision of what God intends for all of God's children, for all of God's creation. The truth of the matter is we are filled with power, a power that causes the heavens to be ripped apart. That's the Greek word that Mark actually uses in the Bible, in that text. It means, it's a Greek word, it says schizomai, it means ripped apart. Our English says open, as if you're opening and closing a door. But ripped apart, if we're truly baptized, it means there's no turning back. You are filled with a power. It said in the script, filled, he will baptize you with the power of the Holy Spirit. And again, the word that Mark uses for spirit descending is eis. It's a Greek word. It means into. It means that the Spirit entered into Jesus, just as the Spirit entered into you. It doesn't mean that a bird perched on his head. Baptism just doesn't make you wet. It changes you. It isn't a one and done deal. It's every day living out and acting out what you truly believe. A resolution is a promise that you intend to keep. But a baptism is a promise that you live out and act out every day. Do you remember the hymn, "O Jesus, I Have Promised"? Mm-hmm. When we were doing baptisms, we would sing it every time there was a baptism. "O Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. Be thou forever near me, my master and my friend. I shall not fear the battle if thou art by my side, nor wander from the pathway if thou wilt be my guide." I like the way we do our baptisms whenever we're going to get to do them again. The immersion. The whole person is baptized. We need to baptize our tongues. We need to baptize our eyes and how we see. We need to baptize our hands. We need to baptize our wallets and our calendars and our watches. We need to baptize our agendas and our priorities and even our dreams. Give them over to the Lord. We need to baptize our attitudes, our prejudices, our hatreds. We need to baptize our fears, our frustrations, our disappointments. We submit our whole selves in baptism. It's not a ceremonial bath. It's a complete immersion, an upheaval of our lives. We come out more than wet. We come out transformed by the power of God. And we begin to change the world. We begin to change even the church. We've got to pray and act. We've got a lot of work to do. We saw this past Wednesday the harm that words can do. But we've also seen the power of a dream. We've seen the power of a vision, of words of hope, the power of nonviolence, the power of baptism acted out each and every day with each and every word and action. We do not lay down. We do not shake our heads. We shake the foundations of the world. We bring about change. If you read the Bible, you find out that Jesus never led a march on Jerusalem, never led a march on Rome. He led people to God, and God changed them, just as God changes us. And God used them, just as God uses us, as instruments of grace to change the world. We act out our baptism every day. This past week was a wake-up call for why it is needed. And today, it's a wake-up call reminding us of who we are. So let me ask you again what we asked you on the day that you were baptized. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? And have you accepted him as your personal Lord and Savior? God bless you. Amen. Amen. This act is